Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick kicked off a six-day, 25-stop bus tour of New Hampshire yesterday, taking his long-shot, late-starting presidential campaign to about 15 New Hampshire communities. At mid-afternoon, he pulled into Londonderry, New Hampshire, to greet local residents, supporters, and workers at the Stonyfield Farm Yogurt Factory.
Please welcome Deval Patrick.
Encouraged by management to attend, dozens of workers turned out for a town hall-style meeting with Patrick in the company cafeteria, where the former governor said too many people are being left behind by the U.S. economy.
There are more and more people who are losing faith in the American dream, and justifiably. You know, the rosy economic indicators that you hear about and read about, they don't tell the whole story, not from where I sit.
With campaign time short, Patrick is skipping Monday's Iowa caucuses and focusing on South Carolina and on New Hampshire. In Londonderry, Patrick went right after President Trump, telling the crowd at Stonyfield that Trump is unfit and too unkind to be president. We asked him about that when we sat down with Patrick a few minutes later.
It's shocking that a president would view his role as an opportunity to divide rather than an opportunity to unite us, that he would come to office apparently believing that the only interests he has to care about are the interests of those who voted for him. And if you actually look at the record, those interests haven't been served very well. I mean, unemployment is low. As long as you count both or all three of the minimum wage jobs a lot of people have just to survive. Inflation is low. Or so we are told. But ask somebody who's paying for education or for housing or for health care.
What's the top priority if you get to the White House?
You know I hate that question, don't you? Because we, in fact, have to be active and successful on multiple fronts. We have to invest in education, innovation, and infrastructure to grow the economy. And some of that is on the opportunity to address the climate crisis without wrecking the economy, which is a false choice we've been peddled. I think in terms of reforms, there are big systems like the tax system that can be radically simplified and should be. I think the first legislative proposal is the democracy agenda, because that's meant to address the ways in which we have engineered our democracy so that it doesn't reliably produce democratic outcomes. You know, the hyper-partisan gerrymandering, the amount of money, so much of it dark in our politics today, the over-influence of lobbyists, the vote suppression.
What are your opponents missing here? Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, Pete Buttigieg, and Elizabeth Warren.
There's a way in which some of my colleagues take their rage that is quite justifiable and that is shared by many of us, and offer to replace what's on offer today with our version of a Democratic version of the same thing. And I don't think that's a formula for healing. And I think others are more nostalgic, that if we can just defeat this president, then we can, you know, the implication is we can go back to doing what we used to do. But doing what we used to do isn't going to meet the moment.
So what are you about that they're not?
Experience. You know, I've delivered against the very issues that we're talking about. They're the right issues. But saying my way or no way is hardly the way we got health care to 98.5% of the residents in Massachusetts. It's not how we're going to get solutions to the climate crisis. But you know what? The things that people are angry about, the way folks feel left out and left back or unseen and unheard, you know, I understand that anger. I have been feeling it for generations, Bob. And I said inside what I believe. This is a remarkable country, because we're the only nation in human history organized around a handful of civic ideals: equality, opportunity, fair play. When we align our policy behavior to those ideals, we're unstoppable.
Patrick's politics of hope might be his best play to have an 11th-hour impact in New Hampshire. A sign on the back of his brand-new campaign bus even reads, "Deval Patrick 2020 for everyone, everywhere." It is a message that resonated with at least one potential voter in the cafeteria yesterday as Callie Abrams, a Stonyfield worker living in the town of Bow, New Hampshire, got up in front of everybody and surprised even Patrick with a long hug.
What I admire is who you are, where you've become, and really what my request is. Can I have a hug?
Oh, bless your heart.
He made me happy inside, you know, that dealing with what we deal with coming out of the White House today, it's night and day. It's a breath of fresh air.
But despite hugging Patrick, Abrams says she still hasn't made up her mind who to vote for on primary day. Polls indicate she's one of many undecided New Hampshire voters, polls that also show Patrick at 1% or under. So, based on past turnout, for Patrick to pull out a double-digit showing in New Hampshire, one he can brag about, he'll need about 25,000 more of those hugs, if the hugs actually translate into votes on New Hampshire primary day. WBUR's Wilder Fleming produced this story. I'm Bob Oakes.